why would Pilate ask that question? Why would he wonder if somebody else has told him? Why would Jesus ask Pilate that? And so we begin to see, and then even as it goes along, the point comes up. The Pilate eventually says, so you are a king. Jesus said, I am. I am a king. For this I was born into the world. So as we celebrate this solemnity today, we have to begin by recognizing what it is that we're actually celebrating. Because Jesus is a king, actually, in four different ways. He is the king because he is God. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is all-loving. He is the creator of everything. That's not what we're celebrating today. Secondly, because he is God, he is, by right, the king of Israel. Remember, before the time of the prophet Samuel, God was the king in Israel. And at the time of the prophet Samuel, the people said, we want a human king. Samuel said, no, God is your king. And they said, we do not want God to be our king. We want to be just like everyone else. And they rejected God as the king. And so God set up a human king. First it was Saul, and then it was David after that. And God promised to David that there would be a line of kings after him. So we're not talking about God as Jesus, as God, the king of Israel. But it brings us to the third one, and that is that Jesus is the king according to David. We see this, for instance, when the angel speaks to our Blessed Lady. And the angel says to her that Jesus would be given the throne of his father David. Stop and say, wait a minute, where's that coming from? You see it actually in St. Matthew's Gospel. We hear about St. Joseph, and we are told that he was of the lineage and the house of David. Now, David had many wives and consequently had many, many children and many, many more grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So all of those people are from the lineage of David. But God promised that he would make David a house. That's the royal line. That's the part that comes down to the kings. And so when we are told that Joseph is from the house of David, that tells you he is part of the royalty. Then you look at St. Matthew's Gospel, and he gives us this genealogy to begin the Gospel. And in that genealogy, we recognize it's not the genealogy of our Blessed Lady, but the genealogy of St. Joseph. And I wondered for a long time, why would St. Matthew give us the genealogy of St. Joseph? He's the foster father of Jesus. He's not the biological father. Well, the reason is actually very clear right in there, and that is he's following the line from David all the way down to Jeconiah at the time of the Babylonian exile. And at that time, Jeconiah, who was the king, was put to death by the Babylonians and all of his sons as well. So the line through Jeconiah was cut off. Therefore, his brother became the heir to the throne. And it is from there then that St. Matthew follows everything down to St. Joseph. Joseph was the king. Obviously, he wasn't enthroned because the Romans were in power. But Joseph was the rightful king. Now remember, according to Jewish law, if a woman is with child before marriage, when she marries somebody, by law, the child in her womb becomes the legal child of the man whose house she has entered into for marriage. So Saint Joseph then became the legal father of Jesus when Our Lady crossed the threshold into his house. Therefore, Jesus was the legal heir to the throne. And when Saint Joseph died, Jesus became the king. You see that in some other ways as well. Remember on Palm Sunday, the people are out there putting the palms out in front of Jesus. And some of that is certainly because he had raised Lazarus from the dead just a few days earlier, and the people are pretty excited about this. But it's what they're saying that we need to pay attention to. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. They recognize him as the king. Bartimaeus did the same thing. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You can also see this in, again, just little ways that, remember when St. Joseph and Our Blessed Lady were coming back from Egypt, and it says when St. Joseph recognized that Herod Antipas was the king in this particular, he went by a different route. They knew who the king was. All you have to do is look in England right now, and they can tell you exactly what all the lines are. They keep track of all of that stuff. They know who the king or the queen is going to be. Well, so too they in Israel. They knew who the kings were, and they kept track of that, and that's exactly what St. Matthew is giving us at the beginning of his gospel. Jesus is literally the king of Israel. But that's not what we're talking about today either. So there's a fourth kind of kingship. And it's the one that Jesus refers to in the gospel when he says, "For this I was born, for this I came into the world." So he is God from all eternity. He is the king in that sense from all eternity. But he has a different kingship. And it was for this reason that he was born. Why was he born? To die. He came into this world to redeem us. And so if we look, for instance, in the book of the prophet Daniel, the seventh chapter of Daniel's prophecy, we read about this vision that Daniel had of the Ancient of Days, God the Father. And he's there with the thousands and thousands and ten thousands of angels that are all ministering to him. And then it says, there is one like a son of man who was presented before the throne of God, and he received glory and honor and dominion and kingship and all those things. One like a son of man. That, by the way, is where Jesus gets that title from that he applies to himself, the Son of Man. He is the Son of Man in his humanity, being now presented before the throne of God. So he who is God and is king from all eternity is now in his humanity being presented before the throne of God and receives kingship. That is what we're celebrating today. Jesus is the king because he is the Redeemer. And we see that right above his head on the cross. Pilate put it there. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This is why he came into the world. And so he came to redeem our souls. He came to save us. That's what it is that has earned him the title of King that we are celebrating today. Now, in all of these things, there is an objective element of truth to it. But it has to become subjective. The Lord makes that clear even when he says to Pilate that my kingdom is not of this world. He said, if it was of this world, my subjects would be fighting so that I wouldn't be handed over. But then he says something interesting. My kingdom is not from this world. His kingdom is from God. Because he alone, being God, has come into this world, and he alone could take away our sins. Nobody else could. So his kingdom is given not by human beings, not by human powers. So he's talking to Pilate, who is the governor, because he was assigned that by the emperor. Jesus is not assigned this by any human being. He is assigned this by God. So he is the king because he did the will of God. And he makes that again very clear when you consider what his kingship is all about. He told his apostles, for instance, the one who is the greatest among you is the one who serves the rest. And what did he say about himself? I came into this world not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for the many. That is the kingship of Christ. So we have to then look at it and say, all right, if we are going to be his subjects, and he'd said that if it was of this world, his subjects would be fighting. Well, he's not asking us to fight. He didn't fight. So what's he asking us to do? He's asking us to be like him. If we are his subjects, this not then not needs to be made subjective. It's an objective truth that Jesus is the king. But he doesn't just want to be objectively the king. Yeah, he's the king of the whole universe. He wants to be the king of your heart. And in fact, he wants to be the king in your heart. That's a choice that only you can make, to be able to open your heart and allow him in. Now, if you're following along today with the Missal, when you get to the preface, you'll see all of the different things that Jesus' kingdom is about. Kingdom of truth and of justice and of peace and holiness and so on. All these different things. That's what he's then looking for from us. If we are going to allow him to be our king, then we have to become like him. Think about it. St. Paul told us in the first reading, we have been taken from darkness and brought into the kingdom of light, to the kingdom of the Son of God. Well, think about the people who allow Satan to reign in their lives. They become more like him. They become more and more wicked. They become more like the devil. They become more selfish. We are called to become then more like Christ. We're made in his image and likeness. Now we are called to be conformed to him. If he is truly going to be our king, then we need to become like him. So that means that change of heart, to be about truth, to be about holiness, to be about peace, to be about all the things that he was and that he is. But it is to humble ourselves, because that's what he told us. Whoever humbles himself will be glorified. If we try to glorify ourselves, it's not going to work too well. We're going to be humiliated. So we need to humble ourselves. We need to serve. We need to be like him. And that's only right because you are a member of Jesus. You were baptized into Christ, and therefore you already participate in the kingship of Christ. You are a priest, a prophet, and a king. And so the royal office, as we have already seen, is one of service. The way that Jesus exercises his kingship is through service, which is why he tells us that that's what we have to do. He humbled himself and took the form of a slave, as St. Paul says. Therefore, he's asking that we would humble ourselves. He loved us, and therefore he asks us to love God and to love our neighbor. These are the kinds of things that if we're going to be exercising that royal office that we already have, that's how we exercise it. Now, that's not going to go over too easily. If we live in the most selfish society in history, everything is designed in this world to lead us the wrong direction. So we're being asked now to go against the grain, to go upstream against the current. But isn't that what Jesus did? He came into this world, but he lived a different way. He went against the grain. That's what he's asking us to do as well. So all of this, again, can only happen with prayer. So that's what we're all being asked to do. And we're being asked to conform ourselves to him, to be able to recognize what it is that we're celebrating today. He is the King because he is the Redeemer. If you participate in the work in the kingship of Christ, then you have a participation in the work of redemption. So as you pray for people, as you offer your sufferings, as you unite yourself with Jesus, you're exercising your kingship. You are serving rather than being served. That's what we're being asked to do. So a wonderful thing to recognize that our Lord is King, and to recognize all four different aspects of that kingship, but also to recognize what it is that we're actually celebrating. The kingship of Christ, because he is the Redeemer of the world, because he is the Savior of our souls, and he is giving us a participation in that work and calling us to exercise that royal office that we have been baptized into. So make this a subjective reality, not just, yep, Christ is King, that's great. Christ is my King. He is the King of my heart. That's what we want to be able to say. And if he is truly the King of my heart, then I want to be conformed to him. I want to live that kingship as he did. I want to serve and not be served. I want to love, I want to be humble. Those are the kinds of things that we should be saying. That's not what's natural to us as human beings, sadly. And so that's what we really want to need to work at and recognize what this really means. He truly is the King, but he wants to be the King in your heart.